This is HDN.
Thursday night, your stockings needed mending. See how they run.
It's Thursday, all day long. Mm. Jamie and Lisa broadcasting from inside the Beaver Bank bunker this time.
Yeah. Going to notice some difference out at the airport the next time you go out there to check in for a flight. Halifax Stanfield International has become the first airport in North America to install a complete self-serve check-in system. Passengers for all airlines can now go to these kiosks, select their seats, and get their baggage tags. Now, agents are standing by to help, but the system has been introduced over the last little while.
Hey, I thought we've had that for a long time.
Well, the full phase became fully operational on Friday.
Oh,
this
great.
This past Friday.
How many people got laid off?
Yeah, good point.
I have a feeling that that's the announcement. They make this announcement. Hey, guess what? Self-serve. And by the way, we just lost 150 employees, but we won't go into detail on that one.
Yeah, we won't mention that.
What about self-serve security? That would be great.
Pat yourself down?
Yeah, do your own strip search. Here's a question for you. Do you ever go into, say you're at Superstore or somewhere, do you actually go in the regular checkout anymore?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No.
Neither do I.
No.
It's almost become a phobia.
Yeah.
I went to a store not all that long ago, just grabbed a few things, and I was looking for the self-checkout, and they didn't have it at this one.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
I got
oh, no.
Holy shit, actual human contact. My
hello?
God.
What do I say? Hello, hello, yes.
You know. Start with hello.
Okay, there you go. How are you this evening, sir?
That's right.
I don't know how I am.
Stop with the questions.
Like, when was the last time you actually went to a bank and talked to a teller?
Oh, well, that I did not all that recently because I helped Brahman open up her first bank account.
So that must have been terrifying.
So I had to actually make physical contact with somebody at a bank.
You want to open an account? You have to make physical contact. You know that. We have a room in the back. But sir, between the machines and the internet at home,
right,
and the self-checkout, you know, I get to the point where I'm checking out and the thing goes, I'm almost too fast for it. And it goes, please wait for the attendant. It's like, screw you, I'm not waiting for the attendant. Then the attendant will come over and I get all pissed off. It's like, just leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. 4011 is a banana.
Yeah.
I know that.
It's never
4077 is the MASH unit that Hawkeye worked at. Don't confuse the two.
They're not going to be able to do away with manned check-ins at any stores, businesses, because, I mean, you know, seniors still need assistance. And
oh, do they ever.
Our graying
population. As a matter of fact, I highly recommend that seniors go to the checkouts where there actually are people there, and don't try when it's really crowded, like, I don't know, the day before a hurricane or something, to try the self-checkouts for the first time.
Oh, dear. Let's see. Do I push a number here?
The lineup is forming. People are just like, oh. No one gets angrier than a line full of people waiting for the self-checkout.
Because they're impatient to begin with.
Well, yeah. They're there to check out by themselves.
Yeah.
They don't want to have anything to do with people. And so if there's somebody there in the front and they're taking I fell into that trap. There was a woman with her kid, and they were checking out at the self-checkout, and somebody else came along and knew her. And stopped beside her, and they started to chat. And she would put one item through every once in a while, but it was really slow. And I'm standing there thinking the worst possible thoughts about this other human being for no apparent reason other than the fact that she was being social and I was being unsocial. Jesus. So what have we become?
I was so conscious of that when Brahman was a little kid, I wouldn't let her scan the items. If there was anybody waiting in line, if there was nobody behind us in line, then fine, you can scan the items. But the moment that somebody stood in line behind us, then that's when I said, okay, I have to take over. Now there's people waiting.
But that's not really the right thing to do, because 9 times out of 10, kids know a hell of a lot more about computers than we do. It's like, honey, quick, scan these for me, please. Mummy's a bit slow when it comes to crap like this.
Mummy's a bit slow. Great thing about those, though, is you can hit a button and all the transaction is done in French, which is great for your budding French immersion students.
And not so great if you hit the button by mistake.
Oh, okay.
And it starts yelling at you in French.
Yeah.
Double knock! What? What did I do?
What did I do to deserve that?
There was one time I thought I'd be a bit forward. It was at the instant teller machine at the bank.
Yeah.
And you know how it asks which language you prefer?
Oh, yeah.
I clicked Chinese.
Oh, good.
Because I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I knew I was going to deposit. I knew I was going to put the amount in. I knew I was all of a sudden, all these Chinese symbols came up with these arrows, and there was like 10 arrows on the right. Which one do you want? It's like I had no idea. I forgot which of the 10 buttons along the right side I pressed for a deposit. And so I had to pull the card out and put it back in again.
So you go to a pub and you want to order a draft beer.
Okay.
What is the question that you ask the waitress?
What do you have on tap?
Bingo. Well, guess what?
Thank you. Do I get a beer?
No. I'll be able to ask that question very soon. The Stubborn Goat Gastropub in Halifax has become the first in Atlantic Canada to have wine on tap. They've teamed up with Bishop Cellar, Grand Pre Winery, and a Beer Tech Draft Systems. That's a company that usually does draft beer.
Yeah.
Well, now they have wine on tap at the Stubborn Goat.
Now that works? I thought it has to be effervescent, doesn't it? Like beer? No?
I guess it's becoming more popular in many cities, especially in much of wine country, and it's just basically a higher volume way of getting wine to the customers. It is in a closed system. It keeps the wine as fresh as if it were in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And the tap system means that there are less upfront costs for the winery and the distributor, and then the savings are passed on to the consumer. So, for example, you can get a glass of Nova Scotia White for $7 a glass, which is pretty good, really, for a pub.
For the Stubborn Goat people, Lisa wants to know how much just to put her head underneath the tap and just turn it on for a couple of minutes.
I think it's an idea that's going to catch on.
Yeah. Mm. Probably here in our Beaverbank bunker.
Perhaps
if you
so.
Had your way, yeah.
Well, some changes coming to the way food trucks are regulated in town. I guess some changes. The bylaws have received first reading in council, and if passed, it's going to open up the meal truck industry. So basically, the changes mean that these food trucks could open in time for breakfast, have more than one operator on their license, and even operate off a bicycle. But, you know, that would be a great opportunity. I mean, breakfast, a food truck for breakfast. You could just pick up coffee and a muffin on your way to work.
Oh, they'd be whipping up the bacon and eggs big time in the back of the truck there.
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm sure they would have heartier fare, but, you know, just your basic
but the
toast
smell,
and tea. Or
as soon as you started cooking bacon,
oh, yeah.
The smell of that truck. That's a gold mine.
Yep. So
just get the wine on tap there and you got yourself and make it self-serve too.
Yes, part of a complete breakfast. I'm going to introduce you to a gentleman by the name of Kelly Carrington. He's a bit of a trendsetter. Kelly Carrington is a man, and he is also the very first male doula in all of Canada. And he's right here in Halifax. Now, he certainly does not look like what you would imagine a doula looks like, birth coach.
Birth coach. That's a doula.
Well, midwife, doula, yeah, all sort of.
He just didn't like the name midwife, probably.
Well,
tell you what, call it doula.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know what the difference is between a midwife and a doula.
Sounds like a joke.
No.
What's the difference between a midwife and a doula?
Well, there's a big difference.
About 4 feet and a penis. Maybe doula is the male version of a midwife.
No. Doulas are usually women. Like I said, Kelly.
I've never heard that expression before.
A doula?
A doula.
Oh, okay. No, I've known the
expression.
Sounds
like a name. Somebody, you know, like to introduce a doula?
Yes.
Hello?
No, I mean, I know the phrase doula, but I don't know the difference between doula and midwife. But I do know that Kelly Carrington is the very first male doula in all of Canada, and he is working right here in Halifax, and certainly does not look anything like what you would imagine. I mean, you think doula, midwife, you're thinking, you know, long flowing hair, female, sort of hippy dippy like. And
no, I'm thinking that foreign exchange student. I'd like to introduce doula. A doula, come on over here.
Well, I'll tell you, Kelly is about 6 feet tall, big, muscular black gentleman with dreadlocks, and you see him. I saw him on camera with babies and the children, and he is just as gentle as can be. It's just incredible. So he's incredible. With
babies. Like, tell me more about this doula of which you speak. No, like, is it midwifery? So it's or midwifery? It's before they give birth,
mm-hmm.
or is
yep.
why would he be with babies then?
Well, because he does follow up work as well with his clients.
Okay.
To the extent that he helped one mother get through sort of the problems that she had with breastfeeding, and she said
Would you feel comfortable with some 6 foot muscle bound guy with dreadlocks showing you how to breastfeed?
Like, you know what? I think it would be all in the approach. If I had been tended to by a male nurse when I was at the IWK learning how to breastfeed, certainly I would have accepted the expertise and I wouldn't have cared where it came from.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I remember, our neighbor, he had a hernia or something like that.
Yeah.
He had some problems downstairs.
Yeah.
So the person who was tending to him was a nurse. She was female.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew her, too. That yeah, we were see, just at a wedding together.
That's a different scene altogether.
Hey, love the wedding. It was great. Now, what seems to be the problem?
Look at my crotch? No.
Oh.
No, that's a different scene altogether. I mean, Kelly, this guy studied for 2.5 years to become certified.
How long did the nurse study for? I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's not qualified. I'm sure she was qualified too, but there's a bit of a sensitivity issue here. I don't know if I want to, show off my lady bits to a big guy.
Why?
You're looking at me strangely. Okay, I don't
because
have lady bits, but I was putting myself in the character,
yeah.
in the role. I don't think I want to show my man bits to...
I think it'd be a totally different thing if you went to, emerge and the doctor that was tending to you was, say, your father's best friend or, somebody that you knew on a personal level. This Kelly guy is completely certified. He is a birth doula.
Yeah.
And, he went to school for this. He's
more
also,
power to him.
Yeah.
I don't want you to get me wrong. I'm not against him doing this. I think it's terrific.
And
I just don't know how much work he's going to get. I think I think women might be a little bit sensitive and, especially, can you help me just pump the milk?
No qualms whatsoever. None whatsoever. Listen, I've been bearing my lady bits to male doctors, male nurses, male clinicians since I was 15.
Whether they ask you to or not, you're just flashing.
So, a male doula, if I met this person and felt comfortable with them,
A male doula. Now, wasn't he on the most wanted list? I'm sure he was on that deck of cards somewhere. There's a male doula. He was Saddam Hussein's right-hand man.
This was all a very natural progression, actually, for Kelly. He was a registered massage therapist
mm-hmm.
and then decided to become a doula after, treating a number of pregnant clients. And so it was just, a very natural next step in his career.
Oh, I think that's great, and I wish him all the best.
I think he's going to do very, very well here in Halifax.
I'm a little bit sunburned.
Are you now?
Yes, we had a nice time at the beach yesterday.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, went to Conrad's Beach.
Hidden little gem just outside of Lawrencetown.
The funny thing is, we've been going to Conrad's Beach for years, you and me.
Or so we thought.
Yeah, it was the wrong one. We were just going to part of Lawrencetown. Wow, nobody goes here. That's because that's where all the riptides are and things. We
exactly.
were just going to the wrong thing. But first time we actually found Conrad's Beach, even mm-hmm. though you've been here most of your life and I've been here for the last quarter of a century. Loved
Unbelievable.
It.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So, and we're not going to tell anybody exactly where it is.
Nope.
It'll just be our little secret. Well, speaking of secrets, do you think you could keep a $50 million secret for, say, 7 months? Andrea and Bill Groner from St. Albert, Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
They finally showed up to collect their $50 million Lotto Max jackpot. The draw was on December the 20th.
And they what, just had other things to do?
Well,
or
they discovered the win 2 days after the draw, so they've known about this since Christmas, basically, and they decided to keep their normal routines for a while. They continued to work, said nothing to family and friends, just very quietly got their affairs in order, and then when they were completely ready to come forward and get the money, then that's what they did this week.
They got their affairs in order. Don't they realize that once they're millionaires, any affair that you have would be so much more spectacular? You can really upgrade.
You can get the Rolls Royce of affairs.
Yeah. People like that, they don't deserve to win a lottery. You've got to run out there and just go crazy. Buy a Lamborghini and drive it off a cliff or something.
Seriously.
I mean, give me that money. I'll show you how to deal with lottery winnings. Well, we almost kept a $50 million secret. How many millions of dollars would it have been had we had we breached that contract that we had to sign back when Paul McCartney was coming to town? Do you remember that?
I thought it was a million.
I thought it was more than that.
Oh, really?
First time I've ever had to do that, though. But yours truly knew about Paul McCartney coming to town before anybody else did. And I actually had to write the press release and the announcement that Paul McCartney was coming to town because...
The group that was behind bringing him to town, they wanted somebody with a strong Beatles background to give a little bit of context to the press release.
So they told me this when you were out of town.
Yes.
And I had to sign this contract saying I would not tell a soul.
Yep.
And it was like for 4 weeks, I think at least a month beforehand. Mm. And it was just driving me crazy. And then when you came back to town, I phoned them up. I said, you got to get Lisa to sign one of these things too, because I'm going to crack. I'm going to die. So I couldn't even give that a secret. I couldn't even keep that secret very long. So then you had to sign it as well.
I had to sign it,
and so you and I both knew that Paul McCartney was coming to town, and nobody else did, and we weren't allowed to tell anybody. It was driving us crazy.
Well, I'm just trying to think. What was the story that you told them that, you know, you needed to tell me because I was going to help write the press release or something like that?
Either that or I was just going to go crazy. I was going to explode. I cannot not tell Lisa.
Yeah.
That was a horrible time in both of our lives because we were not allowed to tell anybody. And then what got me is people, as soon as it was announced, people were writing on my Facebook, hey, Jamie, did you hear about this? Like, did I hear about that? I wrote that.
Yeah. And finally, got to tell you about something that's gone viral on Reddit. This is hilarious. And a little bit sad at the same time. A spreadsheet has gone viral. This man down in the States has calculated and kept track on a spreadsheet every time that he has tried to initiate sex with his wife.
A spreadsheet.
Yes. He's got it broken down into three columns. There's one column for excuses, one column for the date, one column for whether or not the act was successful. This was a seriously disgruntled husband created the spreadsheet. 27 instances he tried to initiate sex with his wife from June 3rd to July 16th.
Yeah.
Just came back from the gym. I feel gross, he wrote of his wife's excuse on the 19th, while noting didn't shower until next morning. In another instance from June 3rd, the wife apparently begged off because she was watching an old episode of Friends. 10 days later, she alleged that she was trying to watch the movie. He added in parentheses, fell asleep 15 minutes later.
And on that happy note, it's time to call it a day here in the Beaver Bank bunker as the sun slowly sets in the west. And I think of all these lines going through my mind to say about that last story and will not for the life of me say one peep. We'll be back on Friday.
Put that in column A. Until then.